Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the show. It's brought to you with Levi Solicitors. They will do you a 10% discount on your legal fees at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Dan, Michael, along with Mosco here as well in the studio. If you're watching the video version, Mosco is showing you our new mag. It's got the Levi Solicitors advert on the back. There you go.
That's all the information in case you weren't listening.
Yep.
It's out for the Nottingham Forest game, which is yesterday.
We sold loads, didn't we?
Yes, that worked out really well for us, planning in a new match for that. But thankfully, there's another home game very soon.
Is there?
Nope, it's not for about 3 weeks.
And then after that, it goes silly again, doesn't it?
The good news is that a well-made magazine is timeless. So people will enjoy this no matter what day they get it. But if they wanted to go on the website and get it now so that they're not cluttering the place up, because we've got thousands of unsold copies right now, don't we? Yeah.
I'll get a subscription.
Yeah, because they just get them straight away. We don't even have to think about those. Those people who subscribe are just so great that we just give them gifts that they've bought and paid for every month.
If you're a subscriber, I remember. We do appreciate it, by the way. And if you're a TSB Plus member, you can read that magazine, digital version of that, and all the ones we've done since 2009. They've got better, I will say. On the website now as part of your membership. Obviously, you get the daily email from Mosco. Extra podcasts as well on the Extra Ball this week. Double header. We ended up talking about the transfer window and went on so bloody long, we've split it into two shows because that's how kind we are to you. Thesquareball.net/plus for details on that. Everything's cancelled. Cancel culture. Everything's cancelled now. What do you reckon?
Well, I personally wouldn't. I know we spoke about this yesterday with Phil, in probably more grown-up terms than we're going to today. I didn't see the point of cancelling it, is the short version of it. When loads of other stuff was going on, the world carried on, essentially, didn't it, other than football?
Yeah.
So it seemed weird that football was picked on as the thing that had to be cancelled, because cricket went on, golf went on, rugby went on, football, too much fun. People have too much fun at football, so that has to be cancelled. Whereas it feels like, because people aren't enjoying the other sports as much or on the same scale, they're okay to go ahead.
Other sports not as good is what we're saying.
Essentially, I think. Yeah, well, they're not as good, but people don't generally look like they're having maybe as much of a good time at the minute. And they're just lower profile, aren't they? They're not on Sky Sports News like 24 hours a day.
And around the world.
Yeah, and around the world. Whereas it felt like football was like, no, that's a bit too big. You're not allowed that. I wouldn't have been surprised if they'd gone Premier League and Championship cancelled. League One, you can just carry on with that. No one's really watching.
Yeah, kids not being able to play in parks seems a bit much, and getting all the way down to Sunday League and stuff. I think it probably...
Although Eton did play.
Well...
Did you notice that?
Yeah, even though...
Are they, they're outside the rules then, are they?
It seems like it.
They were under the auspices of the ESFA, is it East Sussex? I don't know where they are. So it was, you know, they should technically not have been playing, but they played, and they'll probably all get a turn at Prime Minister. So there's absolutely no problems there. I don't know. It was like, part of me thinks, I was actually surprised that it didn't come from the top, from the royal family, saying 10 days of mourning ahead, everything stops. And that would have kind of ended the argument. But then once it became, we're not actually that bothered and you can play.
Are you paraphrasing there? I'm not sure it was, we're not that bothered.
Well, there was rugby, cricket, horse racing all went ahead and nothing bad happened. Like there's been no like adverse repercussions for those games going ahead. So it seems acceptable that sport could continue. So I'm going to, yeah, I'll stick to we're not bothered, because they don't seem bothered. They let it happen. And with that license, and part of it is now hindsight, because now we know that the game against Scum is off as well. I would have done it the other way around, and it does need hindsight, because part of that as well is they didn't know when they were going to do the funeral and when they were going to call off the Scum game and which games were going to be going ahead or not. But the thing about the weekend just gone, when there was no football, is without football, it didn't seem to inspire, for me at least, a great deal of mourning and introspection. And I'm not really aware of that being the case. Like, people just try to find something else to fill the time, because part of it was, up until probably this week, it didn't really sink in. I wouldn't call it shock as such, but I feel like there wasn't really I didn't really get a proper handle on it, like that the Queen has actually died and what a big deal that is. And football being football and the power it has and the things it can do, I can easily imagine football fans being brought together for Premier League matches, Football League matches, and those minute silences and the singing of the national anthem and anything else that would have gone on being the moment that actually makes it real. Where you think, oh, actually, shit.
It could have been a defining moment.
I'm here with 30,000 other people and now I get it. Instead, it just kind of drifted. It was kind of just finding something to watch on TV and something else to do and not really thinking about it. But that moment of focus, there was a tweet about the West Ham game that went out on Thursday night, which on the one hand was hilarious because it was the most West Ham tweet ever. It was about how there'd been pictures of the Queen on the big screen and Bobby Moore and singing of the national anthem. And the person who tweeted it said, I'm sure lots of other people like me were thinking about the war. I was like, bloody hell, the East End is just playing up to its...
Anything about the craze or...?
It played up to pretty much every other stereotype. But how valuable and great for the people who were there to experience that and probably think, you know, to come together at a time like this. And then the time to call the games off is then this weekend coming, because it makes much more sense with the funeral on Monday and the policing issues that are obviously causing a lot of headaches for a lot of people, and even Sky TV saying they can't find all the outside broadcast trucks that they need to cover both the national event of the funeral on Monday and the weekend's football that they are doing. That, by when things have sunk in, and also there's time during this week to arrange things for next weekend. So you can say, right, the football is off in the 2 days before the funeral, and instead you can all go to the village
green
flagpole, yeah, and do a thing if that's what you want to do, and a bit of a chance to prepare stuff, because Thursday going into Saturday last week, you know, it was still just nobody really... When was it announced? Late on Thursday.
It was Thursday, 6:30 p.m. Yeah.
You got Friday, everybody's milling around going like, well, what's going to happen this weekend? Our game's going to be on. Is this going to happen? Is that not? And then it's Saturday and nobody's really got any time to organise anything.
Yeah.
Whereas there's a chance for next weekend to have been that point. But it won't be, because everybody's going to be watching Brentford.
Yeah.
So it all just seemed quite the wrong way around in the end.
I mentioned it... Well, I steered the conversation in this direction, but we never went anywhere with it on the Phil Hayes show. Just say it kind of shines a light on the idea of, you know, like imposed mourning, which is what it is. Mm. Some people may genuinely want to mourn, and, you know, fair enough, respectful of that. You're well within your rights to do so. Other people not so affected by it, just want to crack on. That seemed to be broadly, as you were describing there, Moscow, the response to it at the weekend. Like, well, we need to do something. What do we do now?
It's weird because it's obviously of massive significance historically, because it's, you know, the only monarch the vast majority of people have lived through, but on the other hand, it's not surprising because she was incredibly old. So yeah. It's not like there's it's like when a grandparent dies or something. It's the natural order of things. So you're obviously, there are people sad about it, but not, it's not mourning in the same way as, like, when I think about...
Well, think about Diana as well in 1997, well, yeah. if you're old enough to remember that, the shock that caused, because she was 36 years old and princesses that were 36 didn't just die.
Mm.
And that caused a huge shockwave. This didn't, did it? It felt like, well, it's been coming for a while because of her age. Still shocking because it's so unprecedented, isn't it? It's one person, and it's only once in our lifetime.
And I think to compare it to other moments of grief within a Leeds context as well, I think to sort of Gary Speed being the more recent one, Chris and Kev, obviously a lot further back, but they were incredibly shocking things and really connected to the club. But they were they were in their way sort of uniting moments, and there were really memorable games to have been at. I was at the Forest away game, which was the one straight after Gary had died, and then the home game afterwards with Batty and McAllister and Strack and everything.
That was the Millwall game, wasn't it?
Yeah. And they were like incredibly memorable moments, weirdly, even though it was for kind of a horrible reason. It was a weird moment of coming together, and I think that has been lost as well. The potential people. I know it wouldn't have been quite as unifying, because I think everyone within Elland Road loved Gary Speed, and I don't think everyone in Elland Road loves the Queen to the same extent, but some people do, possibly. And
yeah, but that's where you trust football fans to do the right thing, and I think that's where the FA have kind of proven themselves to be very out of touch with the game that they're in charge of, because, I mean, I wouldn't describe myself as a monarchist by any means. I think I'm in the camp that thinks Queen Elizabeth, you know, can't fault her effort. She's a great monarch, a great bunch of monarchs as they come. But it's not beyond me to shut my face for 2 minutes at a football match while there's a moment of grief and silence to remember somebody who, even if it is just the fact that she's always been there and always on the money, like, and on the stamps, and you're kind of, just because of the way that our society is constructed, you have a relationship to the Queen of some sort that would gives you pause to think, you know, about whatever it is that kind of remembrance or that would mean to you personally. But the Football Association's decision that there shouldn't be any games, when I think every football fan of any kind of opinion on a monarchy or not is aware that there could have been real special times this weekend to mark it. It would have been fine, is basically what I'm trying to say. Mm. Football fans are very good at self-policing. You know, if anybody had tried to raise the voice at Elland Road, they would have been shut down very, very quickly. And I don't think anybody would.
No, I don't either. I think most people, in particular, with the combination of just a general sense of decorum around these things, people wouldn't. And then also, even if that's not the case, the possibility that someone around you might just turn around and clout you would also be a very real possibility.
And you can't take the edgelords on Twitter all trying to outdo each other as a temperature for how people behave around one another properly, because you're accountable to the people around you, aren't you, when you're actually out in real society and not behind a keyboard.
I mean, on a national level, I know there've been a few high profile people arrested and things, but it's actually really, really minor things. Like, considering the monarchy is something that we all live under and pretty much everyone has an opinion one way or another, like 99.99999% of people have just gone, well, if I don't particularly like the Queen, I'll probably just stay quiet for a bit. I do, I'll get involved in it.
I mean, it's an acceptance of how we are as a, it's weird how, because it's so long, the Queen put in an incredible shift, and that means it's so long since anybody has lived through anything like this. That's what I meant about, I wouldn't have been surprised if the word had come from the very top, from the Buckingham Palace, and said nothing happens, because it's the Queen. There is nobody more important that you cannot, you know, you can compare it to Princess Diana, but it's not Princess Diana. It is the actual Queen. It's the, and not just any Queen, but a Queen that we've lived with for 70 years. We've never known a different one, many of us. So that's just, she's the
one. It's unprecedented, isn't it?
Yes. Even historic, even going back to hundreds of years ago where you feared the regent, like, none of them ruled as long.
Life expectancy of about 35.
Exactly. So we're into completely uncharted territory in an era that is completely unused to anything like this happening, and thinks it's used to it because we've been through things like Princess Diana dying and any other big kind of news events during the time. But there is nothing like this in our society that is anywhere close. 10 days of mourning. It's kind of abstract because
We're in an era of 280 characters fired off in seconds, aren't we? You know?
And also because it's kind of not really manifested itself in anything apart from the football being cancelled. Like, where is the actual 10 days of mourning? Why isn't anybody actually doing anything? Like, some things.
Well, there's a lot tied up in pomp and ceremony, though, isn't there, as well?
Even 30 years ago, 10 days of mourning, it's because every time I've turned normal telly on, it's been something about the Queen. But as a result, I've just not really watched any normal telly. And it's not like you would have been able to, at one point, switch off other things. You could have said, well, the radio is just going to be talking about this. The TV is going to be talking about this. And it probably would have been the case 30 years ago. But now, it feels to me like most people have just gone, well, I'll just do one of the other many things that I have available to me rather than sit and be sad about this.
But then when and that's where it feels like a big misunderstanding from the Football Association of the culture of the sport that they run, because there, right there, would have been a huge national expression of collective mourning that would have gone off beautifully. And you know, again, speaking as somebody who's not particularly a monarchist, it would have been a beautiful thing to be part of and just to experience that, even
because they're powerful. Historically. They're powerful moments, aren't they? Yeah. I've had several of them. Yeah, yeah.
And you know, there's a lot to talk about people's opinions of it, but there's a time and place for your opinions, and there's a time and place to kind of experience what you are living through. And it just got cancelled out of
fear, panic. Was it?
It does seem like the decision was this fear of not being seen to do the right thing.
I think if they could do it again, I think they'd probably play those games. I think
exactly.
I think
it was the wrong decision.
I think having seen the reaction to it, I think a lot of people, a lot of not just within football, I saw sort of Hackney Borough had cancelled some event as well, and there were people like going, "We've catered for 300 people for this. What the fuck are we supposed to do now?" kind of thing. And there are legitimate questions around that as well, like around the number of people who will have bought plane tickets and match tickets to come and see these games and booked hotels and trains. And it's kind of inconsiderate to people to go, "Well, actually, no, we think this is more important. We don't care that you may have spent X amount on this and have made all these plans. We think this is more important." And I feel like that has misjudged it slightly as well. Mm. That people have, I don't know, it feels like particularly at this time when nice things are maybe a bit few and far between for people.
Since I just on the catering, it reminds me, credit to the club for giving the food to the food bank as well, all the excess food that they bought in for the Forest game.
Yeah, but stuff like that, it's massive logistical operations for these things.
Yeah.
And so to go, we think it's probably safer just to not, because I think it was a safety decision they made. They thought, we don't want this to receive badly, so we'll do the...
reputation rather than safety, because safety implies that they gave a fuck about anybody, but it's more about fear for their reputation.
I was going to say, nobody wants to piss off the Daily Mail, do they? That's about the size of it.
But that, again, that's the fact that it's so easy to read it as a mistake doesn't fill you with confidence in the people who run the Football Association.
Has anything changed on that front?
No, but no. It's a reminder that, you know, the people in charge of the game don't get it. If they don't realise how good it could have been and only focused on how bad it might have been, then they're going to keep making bad decisions about football because they're not making decisions from the point of view of fans.
Yeah. I mean, it's no surprise that fans get screwed over because, I mean, this is the death of a queen. This is a big thing. They're quite happy to screw fans over because Sky want a game to kick off at midday on a Sunday or whatever, aren't they? The fact that they've done it for something like this is not at all surprising.
Yeah, let's have a word then about the shape of the season, because this has reshaped an already strangely shaped season, hasn't it? In that we've had this clump of games at the start and then none for a month. And then we're going to have 9 games between going back and the World Cup. Nothing then till Christmas. It's a strange old thing, isn't it? It feels like it's never... As a season, it's probably not going to get started until about March.
The first international break's always too soon anyway.
Yeah,
I think that every year I always think, already? We don't need a break yet. It's just getting going. So now we've got 2 cancelled games into an international break. It's just really stupid. the Qatar World Cup is a problem in this because it's not allowed really for the scope for something like this to happen.
I was going to say, had that World Cup not been there, it would probably have been far, far less disruptive and you would have gone, okay, well, fair enough. It's not great, but we'll resume things in a couple of weeks.
And it's less of an issue for us because we don't have European football or probably any cup runs to fit in here. But for Man City or someone actually trying to fit, who will probably go deep into all of the competitions they're in, it's probably actually going to be quite hard to find slots for all these games that they've had to move on.
Should we just cancel the World Cup?
I would have been in favour of that at any point. Just cancel this one. Go again next time.
Well, December can just be Leeds versus Nottingham Forest and away to Scum. Those 2 games. That would be more than satisfy.
That'd be all right.
My needs in December. Yeah. Rather than, what's it going to be? 3 games a day of a bunch of, there's only about a week between, if it's even that, between the end of the last Premier League game and the start of the World Cup. So the World Cup is shaping up to be in a climate that is ill-suited to it, in stadiums that have been built upon the death of thousands of migrant workers, with played between teams who have had no time to prepare tactically, who are all knackered from their domestic league seasons. None of it sort of points itself to being, oh, there's going to be some really good matches, isn't aren't it? There?
Vintage tournament this
yeah,
one.
Yeah, it's just going to be 0-0 every day and like players exhausted by the 70th minute trying to get to the end of the match.
I had this thought the other day though, Moscow, like, what if players have kind of been holding back just that little couple of percent at the start of the season because they've got the World Cup coming up, and then they're going to be holding back a little bit in the World Cup because they know they've got the season to resume after that. It doesn't make for good football, does it? Even if it's a subconscious thing rather than an effort where they say, I'm going to pull out of that challenge, or I'm not going to go in quite as hard there. Or
I think the kind of overriding thing of this podcast is that people running the game are fucking idiots.
Yeah.
And have messed this up in multiple ways now. I mean, the fact that they've allowed a World Cup to be in Qatar in the middle of a season is unforgivable, in my opinion. It should never have happened in the first place. They should have made that announcement, and teams should have gone, yeah, we're not doing that. That's stupid. That's obviously been bought. So let's just not play that one. Let's have our own tournament. Let's have it somewhere sensible with some people who like football already there and some stadiums that already exist.
That sounds a bit like you have to give sort of a Super League there, Michael.
And a climate that is acceptable to play it in summer when it always is. It was so obviously always going to get moved, even though when they initially won the bid, they were saying, oh, we'll do all this stuff with air-conditioned stadiums, artificial clouds, all these things. No, just move it. Everyone can move around it.
It is all just a symptom of, dare I broach the subject, but Bielsa was talking about this a lot last season, wasn't he, when he was being asked about fixture congestion. He was kind of saying, well, wait until next season when it's competing commercial interests, because the Premier League is run by these people and they have these sponsors and these broadcasters. The European tournaments are run by UEFA and they have these sponsors and these broadcasters. And
good
the
guys
World
like
Cup.
Gazprom.
Yes, and then the World Cup is run by FIFA and that has these sponsors and these broadcasters, and they all need to get their money out of this. And so they all need to put on enough games to make enough money, and that means the players have to keep playing for the FA, for the UEFA, for FIFA, in tournament after tournament after tournament without a break. And what's his
every governing body is basically in hock to someone, aren't they? Someone owes, they owe money to someone and they're trying to satisfy all of this.
We've landed back on the point of shut it all down and start again, haven't we, which we end up at a good several times a season
basically. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to
we've got
a tournament that when it is played has VAR, which 95% of people don't want. Then we've got a World Cup played at a time and a place that people don't want. And we've got a round of postponed games that no one wanted either.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Did you see that, by the way, the VAR in Italy this week, Juventus? My word.
No mistakes will be made with this new system.
Did you hear what the explanation was? That the VAR, if you haven't seen it, by the way, it would have been the last minute goal for Juventus to win 3-2, and corner was taken. There was a guy out by the corner trying to block it, wasn't there, who played everybody onside in the middle, but the VAR didn't look at that angle. It wasn't provided to the VAR.
And to add an additional layer of of comedy to it, I suppose it was, that the player who scored got sent off for taking his shirt off.
Second yellow, wasn't it? Yeah.
In a goal that was then disallowed, that shouldn't have been.
And then two more players were sent off as well as Juventus' manager. Yeah, yeah, there was the big...
Yeah, all kicked off.
All the kerfuffle afterwards.
Right, I didn't see all that.
The referee...
It understandably kicked off, would you believe?
It was quite difficult to understand who he was or wasn't sending off, because let's say, well, this is a video thing, but if you two had been messing about, say, and I was going to show a red card, he kind of waved it in between people and those people go like, is this me? And the commentators are all trying to work out who's off. But I think it drilled down to, I checked.
Sounds like a classic Shakespearean farce.
I checked the stats the next day and I think it was two Juventus players and one Salernitana player. And then the manager went off and I think some of the staff as well. It was fun. That's the one thing you can say for VAR is it does sometimes introduce these elements of entertainment.
Chaos.
Yeah, we're all talking about it. And
that's what it's there for.
Admittedly, we're not talking about, you know, a great goal. And even the decision on the offside, because it was Chiellini, wasn't it? Had gone for a header and not connected with it. So he'd not actually touched the ball and he was the one who was offside. But because he'd gone for this header, it was enough interference to judge it even, but then disregarding whether this guy was playing them all onside in the corner. It's kind of such a pissy reason to rule the goal offside. Shite, as well. It was a good header and a fun goal in a... they'd been 2-0 down, Juventus and Haymack. Should have been 3-2, but then it's 2-2 and all the suspensions and all the stuff and crazy time. I mean, if the World Cup is going to be that much fun...
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe it needs some like deliberate sabotage.
I mean, we're all talking down on football here, but there is one major upside to this is that if we don't play any games, we don't need a striker or a left back, do we?
That is true. We can maybe... well, think how much Nonto came on in the 2 weeks between Marsh saying he wasn't Premier League ready and then deciding he was our new signing. He's now got a month, basically. Mm. Think how much he's going to improve in that time.
We've now got
Golden Boots.
9 games until the January window, and then so 16 games will have been played. Well, how many are we supposed to play?
38
minus 16.
Mm-hmm.
22?
Yeah. Although there is one on Boxing Day, so that does fall just before the window.
Okay, but we'll have...
So 10 games. So we'll have played 17, I think, or thereabouts, and then which leaves 21.
21. So basically we can limp to the January window.
21 games with Cody Gakpo, won't we?
Yes.
Which will be fun. Looking forward to that. Hey, Tommy Tuchel got fired, didn't he? That's feels like quite old news now. And Potter left Brighton to go to Chelsea, which feels, I think, all round like a good move for Leeds.
But we've played our role in both of those things, haven't we? We've battered Tuchel and then we've allowed Potter to win to get his move.
Made him look good.
Exactly.
Because you could easily, and if you've been fair, argue that Brighton have overperformed as a result of Potter's influence, because they are exceptionally well run. They've recruited really, really well. They're obviously coached very, very well. They've pretty much progressed from 9 wins to a few more than 9 wins. They got the customary 9 wins in the Premier League for a couple of years, didn't they? Now they're kind of...
A couple? Yeah, 20.
Moving on and doing quite well. So I think taking Potter out of there is good because it should, in theory, weaken Brighton.
They'll chew him up and spit him out, will Chelsea?
Yeah.
I feel almost certain. It might take... I mean, no one lasts more than like 2 years at Chelsea, does it? People generally come in, win something, players get annoyed about something, manager gets sacked, it moves on. They seem... Annoyingly, Chelsea have done this and they seem to always keep winning stuff. But I suspect now, with Abramovich out of the way and not quite so much cash...
They don't seem short of cash.
But I know, but I reckon he'll get bored of spending money when he sees the shit.
Mm.
Whereas I know, it felt like under Abramovich, he was just willing to chuck endless amounts of money.
And I'm not sure they've been spending it well either, because apparently Bowley, isn't it, guy who owns it, was annoyed they didn't get Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah, well, I mean, they bought Aubameyang for Tuchel, didn't they? Like a week before sacking him. And it can't have been... I know they didn't spend... another fee was... I don't even know what the fee was. Is it a loan? But it won't be much anyway, but his wages will be astronomical.
300,000 a week or something daft, isn't it?
So they've committed to that for a player the new manager probably doesn't want. Probably just want to go and sign one of Brighton's non-scoring strikers.
And you'll know from the transfer, was it towards deadline day or close to it, that Billy Gilmore left Chelsea to go to Brighton to work under Graham Potter. I think at the advice of Thomas Tuchel, and obviously you've seen what's happened there, and Potter's ended up at Chelsea, and he's apparently gutted now, don't want to be in Brighton anymore.
Oh dear. Oh well. Yeah. Hopefully this is not that I have anything against Brighton, but hopefully it's the end of them being a half decent.
They'll have somebody lined up. They'll just They've got that smug efficiency about them now, haven't they?
Where, get someone even better somehow.
Yeah, exactly. And it'll be somebody, they'll pluck somebody out of a...
It'll be that Danish second division or something.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to do like a Thomas Christiansen type, but it'll work. It'll succeed massively. They'll probably get Carlos Corberan in and it'll just click and everything will fall into place and it'll be beautiful. And Billy Gilmore will win Ballon d'Or. It'll be mad. And then the only thing I can hope about with Potter is with the timelines is if you can stay at Chelsea and sort of just do a bad enough job that it doesn't completely ruin his reputation. And then...
Or they just run out of patience, Moscow, maybe. Yeah.
And then if, you know, they don't quite win the Champions League, they're knocked out in the semi-finals or something. But to keep him sort of within the reach that when Leeds are up for a managerial change, he could be tempted to Elland Road, because I think we all quite secretly quite like the idea of Graham Potter. And that's, you know, all I'm saying about Jesse Marsh is it's the inevitable cycle of football management. Like, he will be doing incredibly well to still be here in 3 years because the Premier League is like that.
But if
everything lines up that way.
The World Cup back on home turf as well. I imagine that will be quite an allure if the America job comes up.
Yes. Yeah. So he's got the, I mean, he could leave us in a blaze of glory to go and manage the United States, which I think he would be quite keen to do, particularly if it's at home. And then we'll pluck Graham Potter. And so we'll be happy with the one Europa League trophy that Marsh wins for us. And then he can move on to lower his standards and manage the United States men's national team. And we'll take Graham Potter to get him ready for the England job so he can take it over from Steven Gerrard.
Yeah. Has Frank Lampard has turned by then?
He's not getting it.
Are you sure?
Am I going to manage Scotland?
Are you sure? We've had a few international call-ups, haven't we? The Big Sexy Pirate.
Ongoing these, so there might be more.
Is he a big sexy pirate you've put on the sheet here, Michael? Or is he, Sad Pirate has been one of the...
Well, I think he's a big sexy pirate myself.
Yeah.
This is Pascal Strauch, in case anyone is...
Everyone knows.
In case anyone's new to this.
He's just a big pirate, last I...
Someone called him a sexy pirate, I'm sure they did.
Can he be both? Can he be big and sexy?
I mean...
And a pirate.
Well, he can't help being big.
Triple threat.
Sadness can be quite sexy as well. Like, if it feels like a deep well of emotion.
Yeah, like he's off a perfume advert or something.
Very soulful eyes kind of thing. Yeah. Anyway, big sexy pirate or big sexy sad pirate, whichever. Provisional Netherlands squad, a blow for the other Benelux nations, as we mentioned before.
Yeah, Luxembourg gutted.
And Indonesia.
Chris Claassen and Leo Yelder for Norway's 21s. Clicky's in the Poland squad. Any other ones that we need to mention?
Calvin Phillips. No.
He played in the Champions League.
Pat Bamford not in the
bless him.
Not in the England squad.
Jackie should be.
They've not announced the England squad yet, have they?
Oh, if Ollie Watkins is in it, that's going to hurt. I'm not thinking of Ollie Watkins. I'm thinking of Ivan Toney. If Ivan Toney's in it, that's going to hurt. Get me ex-Brentford strikers mixed up. One of whom isn't even an ex-Brentford striker yet. As he'd stop talking at this point.
Probably.
What I mean is, any other striker being in the England squad is a straight insult to Pat Bamford and he should protest.
I mean, Toney probably should be in it.
Why? Don't buy into the Thomas Frank hype. Oh, he's the best penalty taker in the world. Shut your mouth.
I mean, he's obviously good. Got to be good to score so many goals past our international defence.
Rock solid defence.
I mean, did we have four full internationals in that defence against Brentford? Big sexy sad pirate at left back. We had Llorente, Koch, Spanish, German, and then...
Cody Drama.
Yeah, I was going to say Christensen wasn't there, was he?
No, but it means
Cody Drama's played in two countries. Does that make him an international? He's played in Wales and England.
Yes.
Good. We'll go with that.
Okay.
Speaking of people playing in other countries, Jean-Kevin Augustin.
His first two goals for 3 years.
Bless him.
He is back.
Just in time to come home.
I mean...
Well, if he was good then, he can be good now.
Seriously, what are Cast playing at? The Court for Arbitration for Sport about this decision. I think they don't want to make a decision now. I've reached this point where they're just like, it'll be out soon.
Does seem weird. It's taken so long.
Do they have a backlog?
I don't know.
They're trying to get through all the other cases. I don't think we're the only case they're dealing with. I don't know what their process is, whether they hear it and then it goes into a conveyor belt of cases until somebody makes a decision. But what's important is Jean-Kevin is healthy again, scoring goals.
He has really enjoyed these goals as well, because from his Leeds time, I still follow him on Instagram. And since he scored them, he's just posting clips of him over and over and over again from every crowd shot there is of it, every TV replay.
All the angles with Skrill.
All the angles with Jean-Kevin.
Wouldn't you?
I suppose so. They weren't very good goals, to be honest.
Don't matter. Ball in and out. You saw Pat Bamford against Cagliari. Big grin on his face when he just... was that a good goal? It's not a right goal, wasn't it? But he just stuck the ball in the net and big grin. And that had only been 6 months since Brentford when he did his hamstring celebrating it. 3 years with old John Kevin. And I think the whole... he got COVID, then he got some other weird illness off the back of that, didn't he? And then he's got people suing each other over who owns him and trying to play and all that.
And denials about doing balloons and passing out. Yeah.
His legs had seized up
because you're doing balloons.
Which I think was denied, we should stress.
Strong, well, because it wasn't true.
Yeah.
So he's been through it, hasn't he? Bless him.
He's been a busy lad.
I hope he scores many, many more goals.
Have you seen we've done the old Phil Hay trick and we've rescued a Scottish child from north of the border?
Yes.
Leeds United as a club, we've completed the signing of under-17s goalkeeper. Is it Rory Mahardy, I think it's pronounced, from Celtic? 2 year scholarship. That's the big transfer news.
Is he standing up in this photo?
I don't think
he's not very big for a goalie.
There are seats in the shot, Moscow. There are
seats. Yeah, but he's either on a booster cushion, so he's sitting about 4 feet, not 4 feet, but about a foot off
massive booster cushion.
Sitting a foot off the cushion of the chair,
putting your kids on a 4 foot booster cushion. The head to be pressed against the car roof, and neck twisted.
He's sort of like this, like hovering above the chair. I don't know what he would be at his... just either sit down or stand up. I mean, that's a decision-making key for a goalkeeper, isn't it? And this lad doesn't know whether he's sitting down, standing up, coming or going. What's he going to do, be like, when somebody throws a corner in at him? Because that's how they're done, isn't it?
So you're writing him off already, then?
Yeah, send him back.
You should...
Celtic can have him.
Do a compilation video.
Scottish goalkeepers are famously rubbish. That's the other thing, isn't it? That's been the... tradition.
Neil Sullivan was kind of Scottish, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But not at all.
And there have been some really exceptionally good Scottish goalkeepers over the years. But Jimmy Greaves will always tell you Scottish goalkeepers are a joke and we laugh at them. So
it's a disrespect to Alan Martin, if anyone can remember him still.
David Harvey?
League One substitute goalkeeper.
David Harvey, one of the greatest goalkeepers we've ever had. A fine Scotsman born in Leeds.
Mm-hmm.
That might have been the
a bit like Liam Cooper. Just
anyway. Sure, Rory's a great goalkeeper. He looks agile at least, so I'll give him short but agile.
On and off that seat.
And indecisive.
Quick as you can.
Maybe it's part of a training thing. He's keeping his
quads
reflexes ready. Like he's just he's ready for pounce.
He's like a cat.
He's seen a ball in the corner of the room, so he's ready.
We actually dropped him and he landed on his feet.
Excellent.
That's how they do it.
What football can we watch, Michael? Tell me.
Leeds under 21s against Southampton. That's at Elland Road on Friday.
When's that?
Friday the 16th. This Friday.
This month.
This Friday.
When is it?
Friday the 16th of September.
Okay, when's that?
That's this Friday.
Okay.
So you can watch that at Elland Road.
On
Friday.
Oh, okay.
With your eyes.
This Friday.
With your eyes.
Yeah. I think season ticket holders are free and it's £7 or something in and it's cheap.
Yep.
And I'm guessing you might see some... because you're allowed to play some first teamers in this, aren't you? So
yeah.
Might see four overage players, and then how many of our first teamers are underage?
I think we should play as strong a team as humanly possible just to keep them fit. I suspect he might.
I won't be surprised if you
see Brendan Aaronson can play.
If you see Cooper and Bamford or someone, maybe get a bit of a run out in this to keep them fresh.
But then you are blocking the fucking pathway.
But the pathway has had to be diverted because of all these postponements.
How are they in the 20? Another thing the FA did not consider. How is Max Dean going to develop if he can't play in this match?
That's
because Pat Bamford, 28-year-old man.
That's not good enough. I need to go on an away trip, Michael. Where else can I go if I want to watch any form of football whatsoever?
Would you rather go to Stockton-on-Tees or Crewe?
Now, let's be fair. It's not Stockton. It's Naunton and Stockton Ancients. And Naunton has a village green.
And I've mentioned before, good interchange as well.
Mm-hmm. And there's a pond there. Naunton High Street is quite almost posh.
Why are we talking about Naunton?
Because Leeds United women are playing away at Naunton and Stockton Ancients. It's not quite...
When?
Sunday, 18th of September.
When's that?
2 p.m. kickoff. It's coming up in just a matter of days.
Dan, do you know how calendars work?
Yeah.
It's not quite a yarm, but it's kind of a lot. It's like a less football-y yarm. Oh, it's a long time since I've been to Norton, but I've been to watch Leeds Ladies, as was at Norton and Stockton Ancients, and the ground is by the the old railway line. There's the junction box,
the old ancient,
and the pub there. Very good pub.
Oh, so, worth the trip then.
Yeah, it's not a bad trip.
Great. That's not enough football for me. I need more.
Why don't you go see some hot Papa John's action?
Yeah,
away at Crewe.
See, right. I've forgotten about all this. I thought we were getting some nice time off, but actually, this is too much.
Match ball for Papa John's. Maybe. Away at Crewe. The last time I went to see Leeds at Crewe, Peter Sweeney was playing, making his debut, I think.
Yeah.
We won 1-0. Dennis Wise was manager.
When is this game anyway?
Tuesday the 20th of September.
When's that?
It's Tuesday the 20th of September.
Right. Okay.
So that's
the day after the 19th.
And we're allowed to play some grown-ups in that as well, aren't we?
Yeah, it's 21, same vibes. Yeah.
I know, because the other year, like, Dean Whitehead played in it or something. He was about 40.
Did Kiko Garcia play for us in the Papa John's?
He may have done, actually, yeah. Might have been part of trying to get him to fuck off. Just being like, we're going to send you. You're going to go with some children.
What we didn't know is that he absolutely bloody loves pizza. Best night of his Leeds career, that.
Absolutely degrading him as much as possible.
But that's not it. The football doesn't stop there.
I need more, Michael. Tell me where.
Sunday, 25th of September.
When?
Sunday, 25th of September. Do you have to do it every time?
But I've got to see the joke through to the end.
Leeds women are away at York, which isn't as far.
York St John University Sports Park, that.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah. Not. Don't go to York's new stadium. It isn't there.
Mm.
When there is a game there, Friday the 30th of September.
York. I mean, I was going to say York's a very. Hang on a minute. York's a very nice. It's a very nice town, isn't it? Is York?
Mm. Is it Norton? Is it as nice as Norton?
Well, we went for drinks there, didn't we, a month or two back? And I think York is the perfect setting for thousands of marauding drunk Leeds fans to go take some investment into the town.
Okay.
Famously. It's probably.
You could pop into Ben Fry's shop there, which is just off the shambles, isn't it?
Yeah, his potion shop.
Yeah. Like sort of Harry Potter theme, but without intruding on the intellectual property rights of J.K. yeah, Rowling.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Him dressed as a little schoolboy, as he always was, at Elm Road, you could argue, in his child-sized tracksuit.
Oh, dear me. And he's a town crier as well, is Ben, isn't he? Ben
Fry. He does it all.
Still beat me to that job.
Still did.
Yeah.
At least it doesn't hurt you to this day.
This hasn't sated my desire for football, Michael. I need more.
Just stay in York, book a week there.
Yeah, that's not cheap.
Because that's Sunday the 25th. Friday the 30th,
yeah.
The under-21s are playing.
Just five, six solid days of drinking.
Exactly. There's hundreds of pubs to go out.
Should we get an Airbnb? And I'm being serious now.
For a
week.
Probably quite hard to swing at home.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you spending a week 40 minutes drive from our house to watch two football matches I ordinarily probably wouldn't go to?
With your mates?
Yeah. But yeah, that's at York's, it's ground, which I've still not been to their new ground yet.
When's that?
Friday the 30th of September.
When?
Friday the 30th of September.
When?
Yeah, I've not been to the new ground because it's out of town now and it saddens me.
It used to be a nice little walk to Bootham.
I mean, it was a shithole of a ground, it's worth saying.
But charming.
Charming in a way, yes. A bit like the West Stand. The toilets without a roof on where you just piss on a wall was a particular highlight there.
That reminds me, Barnsley was like that, wasn't it? It was the old wall piss.
Barnsley didn't have the advantage of Kit Kats. Hot and cold coming out of the taps.
Is that true?
You just get kestrel feathers.
Excellent. I think that wraps it up for today, doesn't it?
That's all your football. You got five games to go out there.
Absolutely remarkable.
If you want to see Leeds.
We managed to get 40 minutes out of that, so well done, everybody. Good day's work. And I guess we'll return anon when we've got something else to talk about.
We're going to be doing loads on the extra ball, aren't we?
Mm. Yeah.
We're scuttling away to our subscribing friends.
Yes, we've resurrected our Championship Manager 01-02 save. So that's the computer game, 20 years old, where Leeds had a really, really good team. But you'll know from that era, we never quite fulfilled our potential, did we? It all went tits up. So we're trying to right the wrongs of that era, avoid a massively bloated squad, signing people like Seth Johnson.
People you don't need, yeah.
Inflated wages, that kind of thing. So we're trying to go out there and win the Premier League, which is what we failed to do at the time. And I think we're top at the minute, aren't we, in our save?
Yeah, but there's games in hand.
We were talking about pathways just then. I think it's interesting that we're coming across that situation, even in the simulation, where how do we manage Wayne Rooney, Cristiano Ronaldo and Zlatan Ibrahimovic's path into our first team when it's already dominated by Alan Shearer and Brett Ormerod, the central part. We've got eight. I'm so annoyed I've whacked the microphone. 18-year-old Billy Painter trying to force his way into that team as well. And he looks an incredible talent. But yeah, just...
And we're also keeping 36-year-old Don Goodman on trial just to punish him for his bad commentary in later life.
And we're keeping Maxim Sigalko in the side, even though in real life he's died since we started playing this game. So the complications people don't realise when it's just like, oh, just get Joffy in the team. It's not that simple. You've got so many things to consider, and that's just the joy of putting yourself in charge of a computer game football team.
And there you go. That's over on the Extra Ball this week. Have a look at that. And we will speak to you soon.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.